Yeah, I just, children's talk, I think we have one child, so welcome. So we'll just skip the children's talk, if that's okay with everyone. No, actually I'm not. Change my mind. It's going to be about this box, and this is how wide it is. It's how long. How deep it is, and we'll just continue. I'll leave that there. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, and this is Paul, one of his letters, and I think he's in prison currently. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth gets its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Quite a cool bit of scripture, I think. I didn't know until this week, what your mission statement was. Does everyone know it? Mission statement for the church? Our mission is to know Jesus Christ in all his fullness. It's quite a good one, I think. To know Jesus Christ in all his fullness. So I'm kind of going to just pull apart the scripture and just sort of pull it apart. So start from the beginning, verse 14. This is a kneel before the Father, and he's praying for everyone. And the verses before are talking about it's neither Jew nor Gentile. Slave or free, it's all of us. It's kind of, he's really trying to get rid of this whole separation between Jews and Gentiles. He's sort of getting rid of all of that. We all get our name from God. We're all in this one family that we get the same name from God. So he's really trying to get rid of this big separation. So those that are not like us, because the Jews thought they were very, very different. They had a whole bunch of different practices and different ways of doing life. And how does that translate to today for us? For people who aren't like us or think very differently about life from us, their thoughts and ways are very different to ours. God wants all of us. Very simple. He wants all of us to be part of his big family. So verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Paul is in prison, yet he's talking about power and riches. So that was quite interesting. So he's not down and out. Even though he's in prison, he's still thinking positively, still thinking in a mindset that's thinking of how rich God is and how powerful he is, yet he's stuck in prison. That's sort of even when you think he should be low, God still has him thinking of riches and power. Glorious riches. We have a very rich Father. Out of his riches, he strengthens us with power through the Holy Spirit. See, our strength isn't from ourselves alone. Our strength is out of God's glorious riches. And if it's out of God's, say, big treasure box, if it's out of his riches, then it's a gift given to us. Some gifts we have to receive, but then there's some that are put straight into our bank accounts. There's no receiving needed. God can just give us gifts. And other gifts he wants us to actually receive. Does that make sense? So to strengthen us. So he doesn't want us to be weak. But what does strong look like? If we're talking about power and strength, what does that actually look like? Because I don't think it looks the same as we may think in the normal worldly sense. How was Jesus powerful when he was on earth? How was he strong? Dying on a cross, strong. When people were mocking him when they were completely wrong, and he let them. Strong and powerful. Last week we talked of, about raising the dead with Lazarus. Pretty powerful. And it's that same power. Power that's kind of hard to understand. And strength that's not our own. Then there's a 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So that throws another sort of thing in the mix as far as strength and power goes. It's made perfect in weakness. Strength with power through his Holy Spirit. It's a gift. But what does it actually look like? God interacts with all of us differently, so it could look completely different for all of us. Power through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, like for me, when I think of the Holy Spirit strengthening and giving me power, I think, well, when has that happened? Or, and you know, what can I draw from my experiences? And then I was thinking last week, as I was driving into Waikika Church, there was a power cord on the road. A power cord. And I think maybe it was for a jug or a, I don't know. There was a power cord. It was about yay long. And it was just like a reminder, we have to be connected to the power source. We have to be connected to God for the power. It's his and he gives it. So we have to be connected. When I feel the Holy Spirit in a like sort of physical way, or like when I read, like I know he's always with me, but when I feel it strongly, or it's there's normally three outcomes. The first one is always understanding how much God loves me. So whenever you're around the Holy Spirit, that's one of the biggest things he's going to do, as far as I'm aware. He's going to help us understand how much God loves us. Which produces the second thing, love for God. So we, in return, love God when we realize how much he loves us. And the third thing is normally, I want to tell others about this love. And it's only a God thing. It's not a me being a good Christian thing. That's purely a God thing in me. That the Holy Spirit does. Produces love for others and a desire for them to know our amazing God as well. So the first one, understanding God's love, that's the one that really strengthens me. That's where strength for me comes from. Strength in life comes from understanding God's love. It gives security, peace of mind, does a whole bunch of things in life. When we understand God's love for us, it really does stuff. Strengthen with power through His Holy Spirit in our inner being. Inner being, deep down, a place that really is the inside of us, the deep places, the core, the heart of us. It's a place where no one really sees often. Maybe people get glimpses of our inner deepness. But God sees, and God knows, and God understands. God wants to bring strength and power through His Holy Spirit to that place in you, that deep inner place. I heard that, I think it's a psychiatrist or whatever, but there's everyone over all sort of, over all, cultures, have this one kind of inner kind of thing, and it's, I'm not good enough. Everyone has that kind of thing in them in some way, apparently, according to this psychologist. I'm not good enough. And if people really see me, or see that, they'll see that I'm not good enough. So it's that fear of man kind of thing in there as well. So that deep inner place can be where, you know, our really good bits are. It can also be where our really hidden bits are, that we want to hide from ourselves as well. That's not in me. That's not part of me. It can be where broken and hurting things are hidden. When this place is filled with God's power, we will change. Are you ready to be filled with power by the Spirit in your inner being? And a big and deep question. Does God, the idea of God coming into those very deep places within you, does that like, oh yep, no, He's already there? Or is that like, oh, I don't really want Him in there. Oh, you can have this part and this part, but yeah, this bit's too much or too scary. God wants to be part of the deep places in you. He wants to be part of the good and the bad, no matter how good and no matter how bad they are. And He wants to be there to strengthen you and to give you power. And not the power that the world sees, but the power of His love and how much that will change the world. So verse 17, He wants all of that so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dwell in our hearts. What does that actually look like? I think we've all been going to church for a while. Dwell in our hearts. The word dwell in the dictionary said is to live or to stay as a permanent resident, to reside. So it's not visiting, it's setting up home. So Christ may set up home in our hearts through faith. He's not just visiting. I think we can sometimes keep God at a distance, and we just want Him to visit on occasions, or we don't even want that, we want to actually go and visit God, because then we have the control. Does that make sense? So on Sunday we go to church and we allow God to do what He wants to do, but then we can go home. So it's, we can visit God or kind of thing, or our Bible study time, you know, we allow God to come and visit us, or we sort of meet Him. But what about the rest of the time? God doesn't want to visit. He wants to set up a permanent residence and reside. He wants to dwell with us entirely in the deep places. He wants to reside, he wants to dwell with us in our every moment. Not just here and there, not just visiting, you know, certain moments more than others. He wants to reside, he wants to dwell and not leave. If God had complete control, if God was dwelling in us, would, and he had complete control over our life, you think you'd be worried that he might embarrass you or maybe make you feel uncomfortable because you don't have control? If God is in control, how would that make you feel? Are you okay with God being in complete control? If he's dwelling entirely, how would that make you feel? So from the start, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. God doesn't want to be with you just sometimes. He's interested in moving in entirely. It's kind of like being engaged. He doesn't want to be engaged forever. He wants to marry us. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to move in. Maybe we know that God is with us and we know he lives in us, and maybe that's, you know, it's head knowledge. But God wants it to be more than head knowledge. When a new person moves into a house with your, you know, flatting situation, for example, if a new person comes into the flat, it completely changes the dynamics of the house. If anyone moves into a house, it completely changes the dynamics of the house. And God will completely change the dynamics of your house. I'm not going to lie. He will completely change the dynamics of your house. But God is good, and God loves you deeply. So there's no one better than God to move into your house. There's no one better to dwell with. And don't fear the change. In the Christmas story, both Mary and Zacchaeus and the shepherds were all afraid when angels showed up. And being afraid is normal. But God always says, do not be afraid. God loves you. And he wants to dwell with you. And it is a good thing. Do you accept that he actually wants to dwell with you? That he actually wants to be with you every moment of your life? Jesus isn't sitting up there going, oh, yep, that one said the prayer, I better get down there. It's not just a tick-the-box kind of thing. God, he really wants to be with us. He really wants to dwell with us because he loves us so much. My husband Cecil's in Australia, and he gets back this 7 days. Next Sunday. Bring it on. But when we're in the same country, we can be happily just sitting on the couch, not talking, watching TV or whatever, but just dwelling is really good. That makes sense. So we don't have to be talking, we don't have to be doing anything special, but just knowing they're in the same room, dwelling is really nice. And it's the same how we can live with God. You don't have to be in constant communication with him 24/7 to dwell. Dwelling, just knowing he is there and knowing he is with us, is doing life with God sometimes. Doesn't have to be reading our Bible or in church or having a quiet time or hearing him speak. But knowing he is close, knowing 100% that he is with me right now, and he will never leave. And enjoying his company. He enjoys your company. Do you know his company? Do you enjoy his company? While you're topping a paddock, you can just enjoy dwelling with God. While you're doing the dishes, dwelling with God and enjoying God's company. Paul goes on to say, and I pray that you've been rooted and established in love. Rooted and established in love. What does it mean to be established in love? Are you established in love? Is this church established in love? Established in love goes further than ourselves. If we understand God's love for us, then we will understand how much he loves others. The more we are in God's love, the more we realize his heart for others, and his heart becomes our heart. So rooted and established in love is both an inward and an outward experience. And then comes power. So it says, I pray that you've been rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Power with love. Without love, power can become dangerous or useless. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It is foundational that we are rooted and established in love so that we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Power is dangerous without love. Bad experiences with the church or bad experiences in relation to experiencing the Holy Spirit can be when people have lost the love and the power is not rooted and established in love. This is the second time in this few verses that the word power is used. And it's used one more time, I think. I think it's three times that power is used. So it's obviously important. Pray that you have power. Power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge. Power before was a gift from God through his riches and through the Holy Spirit by faith. And our power is that. We need that to grasp how huge God's love is. We need the Spirit to help us grasp it. We need power to help us grasp how deep and how wide and how long God's love for us is. Our God created the universe. He doesn't think in small bits. He doesn't think, he thinks pretty big. So when God is saying, how wide is my love for you? God's thinking pretty big. When he's saying, how deep is my love for you? He's thinking pretty deep. This love surpasses knowledge or knowing or understanding. We can't humanly or physically grasp it. Head knowledge won't cut it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to grasp how big God's love for us is. And knowing this and then dwelling with him in that knowledge, it's a pretty good place. And as we dwell in God's love, it will change us and our hearts will become like Jesus's, and we will love others. These are just byproducts of living with God. it can be as simple as I don't even know that person very well, or I don't really understand this, but I really want them to know God. Like, that is the power of God at work within you. It surpasses understanding. Or maybe when people have wronged us, or instead of holding a grudge, we know how much God loves them, and we want them to understand God's love more. That surpasses understanding. That's not a human thing. Know the love of God, which surpasses understanding, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The scripture sort of really builds on itself. Just builds and builds and builds and builds, which makes the Bible sometimes really hard to read, because it builds so much. There's so much in it. So what was the verses that we've already read? For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth gets its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So we need to understand how wide, how deep. We need to dwell. All of that has just been said. So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Fullness of God. That's the mission statement. Kind of, mostly. Do you feel like you live a life filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? Or do you want more? Or are you happy where you're at? Do you feel like you live a life filled to all the measure of the fullness of God? To do this, we will need to allow God to dwell, to let him move in full time, not just visits, and to let the power of the Holy Spirit reveal how much he loves us. Do you want to know God in all his fullness? It's kind of a big question. He's a pretty big God. Do you want to know God in all his fullness? I went bungee jumping and I really liked it. Just saying, it was great. You should all do it. No. But this whole thing with God and living with God is a little bit like jumping off a bridge. It's a little risky. And it takes some guts. In my mind, it's worth doing. You should all bungee jump, and you should all be a Christian. But yeah, it's not just a walk in the park. Do you want God in all his fullness? When for bungee jumping, I had these, you know, preconceived ideas of what it would be like. I jumped off some very high diving boards at Splash Palace in Invercargill, and I thought, oh, it would be similar. You know, the whole falling thing. I had some preconceived ideas of what bungee jumping would be like. But I'd never been bungee jumping. And I think it's kind of like with God. We know some of what God's like. But the fullness. Do we know the fullness? We will never know the fullness fully. Bungee jumping blew my mind. It was fantastic. It was way better than I expected, and it was great. And God will blow our minds, and it will be way better than we expect, because he is a good God. verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We will be blown away by what God will do powerfully within us, for us and for others, through his power which is at work within us. The Holy Spirit is at work within us. His power working in us. How is it working in us? Change, healing, growth, new understanding, teaching us, reminding us, guiding us, being with us, giving us strength. How it at work within us. Verse 21. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To God be the glory in this church and other churches, in this age and in future ages, in all generations. To him be the glory in the church. Not just people individually, but the church, this church. The church is people. Give God glory as a community, as the church. It is also saying he will have glory in the church because of the power at work within us. The power at work within us together will glorify God. Bringing God glory. How can we bring him glory? Love. And at the start and throughout these verses, love is a gift from God that's given to us. God loves us first. Love God together. As we worship and pray together, we glorify him. But how do we really do this together? How do we really glorify God together? Because we can all stand here individually, but how are we doing it together? We do it through love. Love for one another. How we love each other in this room shows the world our God. When we are around God's love, we realize how much he loves us. We also realize how much he loves each other, how much he loves others. So when we really understand God's love for us, he will then show us how much he loves his people. And when we understand that it's a love that we share, and it's a love that we show to one another, and it's a love that we live out. It's not just a head knowledge, it's an experience as well. It's a head and a heart. Because of how deep and wide and long and high God's love is for us, it's from that deepness and that hugeness that we love others. And it's from God, it's a gift. It's not something we just pull out of thin air and we do because we're good Christians. It's something that comes out of us because of God's love for us. According to his power at work within us, we can bring him glory as we are grounded and established in love. This is not something we can just do. We'll just try harder. We need to be given power through the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, if you want to take the leap and invite God and to move in rather than just let him visit, pray. Ask him. And I pray that all of us can continue to ask for more. Before and after this section that says, it's talking about asking and you will receive. Through the Spirit have power to grasp how much God loves us. And as a church, we can bring glory to God as he works in us. It says, love is richly given to us. We can only richly give love to others in worship. Worship. Dwelling with God. Dwelling and worship is quite connected. So in saying that, we're going to hit our last song. And yeah, we're going to close the last song.
Jesus.
Through the week, I pray that we can all learn to understand how wide, how deep, how high you love us, more and more in our lives. Amen. But if you want prayer, if you want to understand, if you want someone to pray with you about anything related to this morning or anything unrelated to this morning, if you want prayer about anything, please ask someone. Come up the front, put your hand up, just make it known that you want someone to pray with you about whatever it is. With church, that's what we should do. So enjoy the week and continue to learn what it's like to live in the fullness of God. Yeah.